All right, welcome in, everybody. Jaguars today on a Claudineau and Cadillac Friday. It's a working on fumes Jaguars today Friday. Dave, it's not the first victory Friday, but only because we cheated and they hadn't been winning enough. So, like, when they beat Cleveland, we had victory Monday, victory Tuesday,
victory week.
The whole week was victory week, and we probably did that with the Giants as well. But first Thursday night game for Jaguars today. And got a W last night out of the Jacksonville Jaguars. How are you, man? Everything good?
I'm great. I definitely should have just slept in the RV last night while I was tailgating.
Right?
I don't know why I drove home and then just got up this morning.
You should have thrown a sleeping bag in there for me, too.
Yeah, man. I know, right?
It was a quick turnaround down in St. Augustine.
That's awesome. Night. You can do that when you win, though. It's okay for
you
the
You got
quick
a little
turnaround.
More energy. And we Absolutely. Knew Tony and I knew Gus was going to stop by this morning.
Yeah.
So about 45 minutes ago, Gus Bradley popped into the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios here, and we'll play that conversation for you coming up at about 11:15 this morning. He's obviously happy. Today typically is, but, obviously it's got a grind on you, man. When you don't get the W's to pay off the hard work, it's still only 3 out of 15 games, but, we always say the food tastes better, the air smells better, everything's better the day after a win.
Absolutely. And you just got to think with this year, it's a lost year. So you're really thinking, let's just continue to build our foundation going into the off season, going into next year. Let's build this foundation so that we can come out the gate strong next year and not just roll out.
What impressed you?
Out in a blaze.
What impressed you about last night the most?
You know, just really Blake's, just his ability to withstand the sluggish start. I was telling you guys, they were real conservative to start that game. I mean, he had a number of completions, but he only had a few yards. I think he was 9 for 15 at one point with only 52 yards, you know. So you could tell they weren't really trying to throw the ball down the field at first. They were trying to make sure that he was comfortable with his ankle. They wanted him to just get some completions. Maybe somebody would make a play here and there off of a short pass. But then it just got to the point where we got to start making some plays. And they did. And he actually used his legs, which I didn't think he would be able to do very much of. And that was the biggest part of the game, him being able to use his legs to extend those drives. I've said it before, as long as a quarterback, you don't have to be the fastest guy. But if you can keep the chains moving, especially on a drive when, you know, you get to a third and six or eight and they're running a defense that maybe confuses you a little bit, or they cover everybody up. Maybe they bring a blitz and it flushes you out. If you can use your legs to keep those chains moving, he did a great job of that last night, and he was pretty accurate for the most part too.
You know, Gus probably talked about this early in the week, David, and you can speak to this certainly as a young quarterback. There are moments when Blake has held on to the football too long, right? And we've seen instances of that. It's not to absolve the offensive line of any blame in lack of pass protection at times, but there are instances when he's part of the issue as well. It's something you learn as a young quarterback. But Gus said this week, you know, it's a difficult line to walk because you don't want to take his instinct is don't give up on the play. And he's made some big plays by breaking out of pressure and extending the play. You don't want him always to sit there in the pocket and go 1, 2, 3, nobody there, boom, throw it away.
He's learning. He's learning the process. He's learning the game. He understands. He's starting to understand more and more of when to hold the ball, when to try to extend the play, when to get the ball out of my hands. It comes down to down and distance. It comes down to the makeup of the game. Where are we at in the game? What's the score? How is the game flowing? Do I need to try to make a little bit of a play here? Or is this a point in the game where I can just get rid of the ball? Maybe that's the best thing, to be able to just punt the ball. He's learning that. And that is an art. It's not something that's easy, especially with a guy that has the ability to get out the pocket and make things happen with his legs. So he's going to continue to learn that. It's not something that happens overnight. When he's in college, he's able to extend the play a whole lot more because the guys aren't nearly as talented that are coming after him. So he's, you know, one of the more talented guys in the field. So he can extend a lot of plays in college. So he has to learn that, okay, this is the pro game. There's a lot of fast guys out here. The guys that are bigger than me are faster than me. So I have to learn when to get the ball out of my hands, when to try to extend plays. And that is something that he learns in the game, in the off seasons, and then as long as he just continues to play. I mean, he's a young guy. I'm just so excited to be able to see him, you know, continue to mature as a quarterback, to continue to be this leader, because when you can do those things like come back in a game, that just boosts your confidence. It boosts everything that you're trying to accomplish as a quarterback.
Great. One of the great things about winning on Thursday night, being the only game in town, all morning long, you get to see the highlights over and over and over
again. Yeah, we never get to see those.
Right? I mean, some big plays for the Jags, some explosive plays. Really, in the passing game, I think it was Hayes Carline might have tweeted, this might have been Ryan O'Halloran this morning, both from the Florida Times Union, that the Jags win the game. And if it was somebody else, apologies, but Jags win the game and never threw the ball more than 15 yards down past the line of scrimmage. Marquise Lee caught it and had the nice catch and run, but they didn't drive it down the field. Like you said, everything was short, but they got the big run out of Jordan Todman as well, which was kind of the backbreaker right there for the Tennessee Titans. I mean, the Jags don't score typically back-to-back, and then they get the lead, get the ball back, and they're able to extend it on a one-play drive like that. Is just such a relief, I would think.
You know, the huge drive, huge plays was right before the half when Toby had his two biggest runs, it seems like, of the season.
To start that drive,
to get them down there and score those points, right? But you don't understand how big it is to score points right before the half, especially when you're down and you haven't done much. Like, they didn't do anything up to that point. So for them to go down and get that big boost and then to get the ball in the second half, it was huge. It was huge. And Todman, the way that he ran with the ball was great. It was really good to see a team that was, that doesn't have much to play for, that was down, but continue to fight. And I think that's a lot of Gus. That's a lot of what Gus preaches to those guys. And they never get down. Even though the season is not a great season, even though they were down, they're young. And that's what I keep trying to say. When you have young guys, they don't know what to do when things aren't going right. They're always going to keep pushing. They're always going to keep driving. They're always going to keep striving to be great, even though things aren't all that great around them. When you have some older veteran guys, you know, that want to kind of shut it down a little bit because, you know, I want to be healthy going into the offseason. The season's all those things start to creep up when you have an old veteran team that doesn't have anything to play for.
Give us your opinion. I know what it is, I think, but share it with us, if you will. We were having a conversation yesterday. Ryan O'Halloran was in. Paul Spicer called in. You texted me about this while this was ongoing, and you know, Ryan felt, and I'm not trying to do this while he's not here. I'm just going to reflect his opinion on it. Spicer called up, disagreed. He said, I stand by this. But he felt like Gus had been throwing Blake under the bus a little bit, you know, with some public critique of him where he felt like he didn't go the distance, that far with some other players. I think that's an accurate reflection of what Ryan was saying. To me, Dave, I said that, you know, I guess if you could want to line it up that way, you can make a case, but I've never once gotten the impression that anybody on this organization has tried to undermine or throw him under the bus or treat him any worse or more strictly than anybody else. As a quarterback, you are probably held to a bit of a higher standard. You're supposed to be what the franchise is all about, but I don't think he's thrown anything at him in the way of critique that he publicly or otherwise that he can't handle.
No, absolutely. And for Gus, he's got to know his players, and he knows Blake. He knows his mental makeup. He knows he's a tough-minded kid. So he knows that if he does say something in the media, it's not going to be taken as, oh, coach is talking about me, you know, I'm going to the tank now. And he wasn't saying anything that needed to be said in private. They were all things that were seen on the field. So he was asked a question about him. So he was just reflecting on, you know, his knowledge and what he was seeing in the game. Blake has to be better at these things. Of course, you're the quarterback. They're going to talk about you. They're, as long as he's not saying, you know, he's not giving us anything. I don't know why we have him out there. We definitely overpaid for this guy. You know, if he's saying
he's
stuff
not
like
going
this,
Jay Gruden.
No, he's not going right. Jay Gruden. He was just being, it's constructive criticism. And as a man, Blake is going to be okay with that. His coach was not throwing him under the bus. When you're asked a question, you don't want to be a coach that ducks and dodge questions all the time and tries to make it vanilla, because then your players start to feel that too. And they're like, you know, coach is always kind of just making everything soft and sweet. They need to hear sometimes that, you know what, I'm not playing like I should be. I'm not making the reads fast enough. I am holding on to the ball sometimes. But then I know Gus is positive too. As long as he comes back and at times will say what Blake is also doing well, then you're not throwing him on the bus. If he continues each week to harp on negative things, like after this game, if all he found was more negative things to say, then you can feel like, okay, you know what? Coach is riding Blake a little bit too much, but he was just being constructive with his criticisms. And so it wasn't him throwing him under the bus. He was just being a man and saying, these are some of the things that Blake needs to do better. But he's also doing well in these areas too. So I think when Blake first started out the season, you don't want to be too critical because you don't know how he is. You don't know how he's going to take it mentally. And so you are a little more vanilla. You do soften things a little bit more. But as you continue to grow and you continue to see some of the same mistakes being made, you want it to be known that these are the mistakes. These are what we're going to be working on with them. And he knows that. If he never said anything to Blake about these things but just went on the air and now Blake is hearing them for the first time, you know, it might be a little surprising to Blake. I still don't think he would feel like he's throwing him under the bus. But you have to understand that your coach is going to say some critical things sometimes, but you have to be a man and be able to say, you know what, I can take it, and I'll do my best to be better in those situations.
You got opinions. We can take them right here on Jaguars Today. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you the show every Friday. Today, the Fan Feedback Spotlight asking you, game ball, who you handed it out to. You can call in with your thoughts on the game last night, certainly at 641-1010. Basically, who do you think was the player of the game? Certainly, Blake Bortles would be a candidate last night. The Cinderic Marks capping it off with a big bonus winning 8.5 sacks now on the season. Telvin Smith, 15 tackles in the game. Jordan Todman, big play. Whoever you want to nominate, certainly the fans have nominated the fans several times on Twitter this morning. And they've shown up all season and have had more losing than winning. So don't have any problem giving the game ball to the folks that support the Jacksonville Jaguars. But you can tweet us with your thoughts on that at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at David Garrard 9, at 1010XL Lauren. Weigh on that, weigh on the game in any aspect you like at 641-1010. And stick around about an hour from now. Jaguar head coach Gus Bradley with myself and Fat Tony coming up this morning on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars have four defensive backs standing on the goal line in a three-man rush and four linebackers up in front. Straight drop. Chris Clemons is going to get there, and he's going to finish him off. They are going to finish him off. Cinderic Marks gets the half sack he needed. What a way to end the ball game. Jacksonville wins it 21-13.
Telvin Smith really did a nice job throughout the game. I mean, but it was a total team effort. You saw different guys step up and make plays. And Cinderic, you know, for him to get that sack at the end was big.
And that's the way it ended up. Frank Frangie on the call right here. 1010XL, 92.5 FM, your flagship home of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Gus Bradley post-game talking about, obviously, Telvin Smith all over the field last night. 15 tackles, one tackle for loss, 10 solos, 5 assists, just flying around, making plays. And Cinderic Marks ultimately was awarded the full sack on that play. Clemens just, Whitehurst slipped out of his grasp, and Marks was a happy guy. And they were all clearly happy for him, Dave. They bum rushed him out there on the field. Everybody knew he threw up the Manziel money fingers. You know, after the game, as a matter of fact, let's play that cut from Cinderic. I think we've got here, Lauren, talking about taking everybody out after the game last night.
Week coming up is Cinderic Marks buying dinner this week.
No question about it. We so happy for him, man. He definitely deserved to get in the Pro Bowl. It's not every time you get a defensive tackle, especially in the interior, to be able to consistently get pressure like that. He's had an amazing season.
My bad. That was Red Bryant talking about Cinderic, but dinner was on Cinderic last night.
You know what? The guys are in the locker room. Everybody knows that he has a chance to get this money. So everybody out there knows if there's a chance that somebody else can push the quarterback all the way to him so that he can get the sack, they would. I mean, to be able to get a bonus like that is huge. And they know that their teammate wants that money, and they're going to do everything they can. So that's an awesome thing. You know, just for Cinderic Marks to be able to to be able to get that kind of bonus there. It's really good because that just means he's played well. Like I was telling you guys earlier, you put those benchmarks out there so guys can achieve it. And if they achieve it, that means those guys are playing well. They're playing typically at a Pro Bowl level when they get those kind of bonuses and things. So clearly all year long, he's been playing at a Pro Bowl level.
In theory, that's how these incentives work, right? You put them out there.
In theory,
want them to achieve them because that means they're playing at a high level. Fred Taylor last night, Tony. How funny was Fred? He said, look, all right. He started to detail his career and went back to a game. It was 2005, 2006.
Yeah,
last game of season.
In Kansas City.
2006.
Right. Last game.
I remember because I was pulled with the opportunity to also.
That was the Quinn Gray game, right? Didn't he play in that? Did he play in that game? Are we thinking
he
the
came
same
in
one?
After me then. It was Kansas City, 2006. It was because I had a pretty good run that season, but then the last three games, we kind of struggled, or should I say I kind of struggled, and got into the Kansas City game, started the game, and it was cold out there, but had an interception because, I don't want to say because, but it was kind of a wide receiver screen, and Ernest Wilford was supposed to go over there and block the guy.
Come on, Ernest!
Missed him, and Ty Law snuck in, threw his block, picked the ball off, we tackled him, but then right after that, they're like, nah, we can't keep going, so they pulled me out.
I remember that play.
Yeah,
we were up there for that game, and it was funny listening to Fred talk about he had an opportunity. He needed like
50
yards.
Right?
Yeah.
That was a game where Big John got thrown out for something.
You know what? I kind of blacked out after I got pulled out of the game. I couldn't believe it. This was happening to me.
Yeah, he got thrown out for something, and it's as scared as I've ever been interviewing a player in the locker room after what's talking to Big John about
that
play.
You should be scared every time you have to interview Big
right,
John.
Right, there was a lot going on in that game that we didn't even know about at the time.
I know, and so that became a heavy mojo game. Let's get a look at this
mojo.
Young fellow
yeah.
right now. And then, you know, and I brought up with Fred because you'd always heard the rumors, and maybe I knew it was factual before this, but the thought was, you know, if Fred had touchdown incentives in his contract, is that why they're always pulling him at the goal line? But you had the plausible deniability of early in his career, Fred got hurt, and you knew those were kind of violent plays, and there was also the, you know, Fred dances too much. He doesn't hit it up there. He, you know, he always tries to hit the home run. Maybe short yardage isn't his best.
And a lot of times that is the case. They have a short yardage goal line back, and somebody like Stacy Mack, like you were saying earlier, would be a guy that you would bring in on goal line. Fred gets you all the way down the field.
Right.
And then when you want to pound it in for that 1 or 2 yards, you do bring somebody in like Stacy, but you also want to reward the guy that got you all the way down there.
The guy who scored 17 touchdowns as a rookie, for goodness sake.
You do want to
apparently has a nose for the end zone.
Exactly.
And as Fred would say, oh, we're at the 37-yard line. It's 3rd and 1. They're happy to
they're
hand it.
They're keeping him out there.
I get that 1 yard,
yeah.
But I can't get this 1 yard. So let me, for you personally, statute of limitations has long since passed. Do tell. Is there a circumstance where you felt or you got
well,
the sense
I,
for you they were trying
I'll,
to hold
I'll
you back?
I'll say this. I'll say this. It was never for me because you don't normally pull the quarterback out
right,
because
right.
They, you know, they're playing. So for me, it was always the flip side of it. If I had a receiver or a running back that needed a few more catches or maybe a touchdown catch, even the coaches knew this stuff. They're like, okay, you know, so-and-so Mercedes or whoever needs 10 catches to get a $400,000 bonus. Let's make sure we target him early and often. You know, so you're going to target those and sometimes it's almost a detriment. Because you're trying to get the ball to them so much that you're forcing it and you come up and you make mistakes early. And so then you're like, you know what? I got to regroup. Okay. We got another game, whoever, X receiver. So we're going to do the things right. We're going to play the game like we're supposed to. And he ends up getting it anyway, but you're almost like, I want to help you get that money, you know? And so, but it can be, you know, it can almost be a bitter, sweet kind of thing.
But at least that's going to resonate in the locker room. If
absolutely.
They're going to say, hey, we're going to try to get you this instead
yeah.
of, oh, we love you, coaching
yeah,
staff.
Absolutely. sometimes that's the case, sometimes it's not. When you're a little bit of hot water with them, you know, you might be inactive that game.
Right. All the play calls are going to the opposite side of the formation there. All right. We talked about, you know, Gus mentioning Telvin Smith. Certainly one of the candidates, if you want to give a game ball to Telvin Smith, nobody would bat an eye at that. And Gus chose him to lead the what's now becoming their traditional We Believe in Victory. Listen in.
Telvin, lead us, man! To Mercedes Lewis! Hey! 34-yard reception by Marquise Lee! Hey! Touchdown run by Toby Gerhardt! Hey! Sack and selfie by Ryan Davis! Hey! 62-yard touchdown run by Jordan Todd! Hey! 12 tackles by Telvin Smith! Hey! No turnovers! Hey! Zadarius Smith just... He came a little richer. But you know what? Let's take tomorrow off. Everybody, man, get those hands up high. Keep it tight. Protect the team, man. Protect the team and keep it tight. Keep it tight on three. One, two, three. Keep it tight.
There you go. Oh,
I love
so
it.
So good. Credit Jaguars.com with the audio on that one. And thanks to our friends in the building for that. That was just spectacular, man.
That's what you play for right there, man.
Ryan Davis sacking a selfie, yes. Dave.
Yeah, I love it. You gotta love a coach like that.
I mean, why can't it be fun? You know,
I know.
Why does everything have to be so serious and all this stuff? And, boy, you just want them to have, get about 8 more than you had this year, and now you're talking. Get about 11 or 12 of these kind of celebrations. We're
absolutely
not going to get tired of playing that.
That's what it is. I mean, you know, people have things they want to point out when you're losing. You know, you can't clap for a guy because, you know, they made a bad play, so you're trying to pick them up in spirits and you're trying to keep them motivated. You're supposed to dog cuss them. You're supposed to jump down their back. You know, when you're losing, there's always a ton of excuses, a ton of reasons for why you're losing. But when you're winning, nobody cares. Everybody's just happy. Those same plays are being made, but there's a W on the scoreboard, so nobody talks about it, nobody points them out. You know, that's the nature of the business. That's the nature of the game.
It's week 16. They're 3-12, man. And you say, yeah, it's like they won the opening game of the season.
I know, and that's the thing that I love about that right there. That means the atmosphere in the locker room is really a cultivated one. It's one that everybody can come in and still feel like they're not dreading to be at work. That is what you want. It's not doom and gloom in the locker room. It's not doom and gloom over here. They're still coming in. They're still excited. Now, they do have to continue to put W's on the board, but the players are coming in with excitement, with energy, with passion still. And it's slowly going to continue to turn into W's.
45 minutes away from our conversation with Jaguar head coach Gus Bradley here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM this morning. So if you'd like to get on board, now's a great time for you at 641-1010. Let's go to Thomas to lead us off this morning on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Hi, Thomas. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. Good morning. How are you guys?
Fantastic. You kidding me? We're fired up, man.
Last night, I have to say, was my first time. I took my son, and, you know, we went down to the stadium for the first time. I haven't been to a game since the old Houston game when Samari Roll picked off Mark Brunell a long time ago. And I got to say, man, that experience down there, and if anybody's listening is kind of on the fence about going, I'm one of those people, you know, we're rubbing two nickels together too. But let me tell you, that was worth every penny we paid to go down there for that experience. It was just absolutely amazing. What they've done down there is great. David, you're one of my all-time favorite players. Thank you for everything you've done, you know, for my team, for the city, everything. And I'd like to give my game ball to Telvin Smith, man. That guy, you know, I can't believe people said that he was just too skinny, because he was absolutely all over the field. So you guys have a great day. Go Jags.
All right. Thank you, Thomas. Appreciate that. Samari, of course, with Tennessee back in the day when the joke was he was Mark Brunell's favorite receiver. By the way, Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardle of Football Life aired for the first time immediately after the post game last night. So we got to see a lot of it. We couldn't hear any of it going on. By the way, you got Prisco straight out of Aruba, I believe, because either that or the double session in the tanning bed.
He always looks like that, man.
Pete, brother.
Was he super rosy?
Look into it. outside of that, I mean, look, that's what you want. That's what this organization wants. Now, they understand the most important ingredient and the thing that it's great for the fans to come out and have a good time and all this, but you know, you're paying money to watch a successful product, ultimately. And that's gotta be the payoff next year. It can't be everything, just wait till they start winning. It's gotta be, okay, and now they're starting to win on top of everything else. Then you're gonna take the game day and everything else around it, if they're able to do that to a ridiculous level.
Yeah. We've been saying all year, my wife and I, we've been saying all year, the game day experience has been great. We have had so much fun from the start of tailgate. Of course, this is the first time I've been able to do all this. So this is what I've been thinking that everybody's been doing the whole time that I've been here. But apparently it has not been that way.
They put the screens in just for you.
Yes. Yeah, so but it has been a lot of fun. And last night, just night games in general are just always great. Whenever the lights are on and people have had kind of all day to talk about things and to enjoy a few beverages and to just get ready for that night game. I mean, it's just, there's nothing like it. And, you know, here at the bank, they do a great job of putting on a night game, but just putting on the whole game day experience. And as the product on the field continues to get better and we continue to win ball games, this is going to be one of the best places to see a football game.
No doubt. Let's go to Daniel next up here on 1010XL. Good morning, Daniel. How are you?
I'm great. Last night was awesome. Just a hint of what it seems like will come with all the rookies. But I had a question for Dave. Fred Taylor told that story last night about needing 50 yards to hit his incentive and then him getting sat by the coaches and basically the business side. And I wanted to ask David, what is it like in a locker room after a coach does something like that and keeps one of the leaders from the team hitting their incentives? And I'll take your answer off the air.
All right, thanks, man.
You know, it's tough because we all know the scenario that went on. We all know that he's not out here. He's not playing. They've got him sitting, you know, with his helmet off on the sideline. And we're all trying to figure out why would you do that to somebody. But yet they have another guy who has the ability to get incentive. He's still out there. So you don't know what's going on behind the scenes between that player and the coaches sometimes. I just think if you're – you know, a player that they are happy with, they're going to continue to have you out there. But, you know, if there's somebody that maybe they might be trying to move you, you know, next year or the off season, I think they will have some reservation on giving you more money to hit those incentives. But as a player, it's still, you're not going to be turned off from trying to get your own incentives. You're not going to be like, well, I'm going to get to the point in the game and they're just going to pull me out. You're going to still go out there and try to keep balling. So it doesn't really sway you from not trying to do your best still.
But look over your shoulder wondering if the same thing will happen?
But you do think, though, you know, that's the game, though, as far as if I'm not producing, then I'm not going to be out there. But you hate to be a guy that's producing and they pull out just because they're trying to save some money. I mean, now you're gonna have guys that are gonna be rethinking, re-signing with you, and then you're gonna have those guys talking to the other guys that are thinking about coming in and saying, "Well, let me tell you this one situation that I was in." So you know, then you can take it back and think about it yourself. So,
just the way Gus Bradley expressed it there, as we heard a minute ago, "Hey, so Derek made
exactly.
a little extra money."
Exactly.
And he seems genuinely happy. You know, it's not out of Gus Bradley's pocket. Why shouldn't he be happy for it?
And that's why I said earlier, though, that we had some offensive coaches that would say, you know what, so-and-so needs 5 catches, so let's get him the ball as many times as we can. And so that's normally what you get, but then you do get some times where they don't put you out there.
Boy, I would think some mistrust, distrust in those situations, but hopefully what we saw last night is going to be the norm for this regime. And let's hope that we have a bunch of these guys that we find out about the incentives, because that means, like you said, they're playing well up to a level where they set a pretty high bar. So let's hope we see a lot more of that in the near future for the Jags. All right, we'll take a timeout, 641-1010. If you'd like to get in, it's a Caudill and Cadillac Friday. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Three tight end set, I formation, Toby Gerhart. Toby spins away, touchdown Jacksonville. Toby Gerhart spun away from a tackle and scored from a yard out, and Jacksonville has taken the lead. Offset eye now for Blake Bortles. They're running up the middle. Oh, that's Jordan Todman. He broke away. Jordan Todman is in the secondary. Jordan is inside the 30-yard line. Jordan Todman inside the 20. Inside the 10. Jordan Todman is going to score a touchdown for the Jaguars. There are no flags. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
I give credit to the whole team. I mean, they kept their poise in the locker room at halftime. Said, all right, let's regroup. We'll build off some of those runs that we had, some plays that Blake made. It carried over in the second half. But the defense, special teams, really solid throughout.
Highlights courtesy of us, your Jaguar Radio Network. Frank Frangie on the call. Toby Gerhart, touchdown run. Jordan Todman ripped off a 62-yarder. Gus Bradley crediting the all-around team effort of the Jacksonville Jaguars last night. By the way, Doobie Brothers, Eyes of Silver, last time, this time out. Harmily,
yeah.
Close your eyes. Is that your jam right here?
That is my jam. That's also my brother-in-law.
That's right. What's up with the eyes theme, though, today? It's eyes. Something about the eyes, right? What do you got?
That is correct.
It's eyes, yeah. Eyes. I don't know why.
Eddie Lacy has an irritated eye.
I don't know why.
He may wear goggles this week. I doubt that's where Warwick's going.
Why.
But
she
that is factually correct.
I don't either. But I like the song, though.
The eye test. It's an eye test Friday. I have no idea. Doesn't matter.
Did the Jags pass the eye test?
Did you know that Parmalee was David's relative?
I sure did.
Yeah, okay. Just making sure. Yeah. We went over this in the summer. You could have quizzed me. I would not have done that.
That's one of my favorite songs.
You seemed shocked when I said
when,
that.
When you said it, I was like, oh, of course, yes. Absolutely, Dave. I knew you at that point that you had brought it up before, and I thought I'd just play along. So that's how that worked out. 641-1010, if you'd like to give out a game ball for last night, whose performance earned that game ball, who would you give it to, by the way?
You know, it's not someone that I would give my game ball to, but I wanted to talk about Marquise Lee and the way that he has grown confidence-wise, because you could just tell every time the ball hit him in the hands that he was going to do something with it. And when he's not thinking about the plays and not trying to figure out where he's supposed to be and not trying to figure out what I'm supposed to run here, when he can just go out and play naturally, play comfortably, you can see that he does have that ability to catch the ball and turn up and get yards after the catch. That he is a spark plug kind of a guy. But you can just tell his confidence has grown. And it's grown because he knows the plays more, and he's also getting the ball thrown to him. So for receivers, they got to get the ball in their hands. The more and more they get the ball in their hands, the more comfortable they get, the more confident they get, and the better they start looking. And that's what we've been missing all year long, because he's still been trying to figure things out, trying to figure the game out, trying to figure your own plays out. When you're out there on the field trying to figure your own plays out, then you play real slow and you play with less confidence.
I think looking at the depth chart, I think it was Damian Stafford was the Tennessee Titan defensive back. It was 39. That's the guy. Whoever was on him, on his hip, Marquise kind of pulled away from him, and then Stafford looked like he had him squared up, and the next thing you know, it was like, beep, beep.
Yeah.
And he was here, and then he was all of a sudden
it's
past
great
him.
Cutback. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, good cut, but not only that, Dave, I think the thing, you know, whatever his 40 time is, however fast his straight line speed is, I think it's his acceleration.
It is.
He goes from zero to whatever and, you know, makes the most of that speed.
Yeah, he's more quick than he is fast, and that's great. That's the guy that you want to have out there, because when you get in those tight windows, those tight pockets, it's coaches say you can't tag him in a phone booth. That's how, those are the kind of guys that you want to have. You want to have those long guys like a Robinson too that can just stride out and, you know, kind of separate himself that way. But you want those guys that you throw at 5 yards. He makes the guy over top of him miss, gets up another five, jukes the safety, makes him miss, and now he's getting that separation. Now he's getting that 34-yard gain off of a 5-yard throw. Those are the guys that excite the crowd. Because you never know what's going to happen once they get the ball in their hands. But like I said, his confidence is growing. You can see every time he caught the ball, he was trying to do something with it. He wasn't just catching it and happy to be happy to have made the catch. He was catching it and trying to turn up to go score with somebody like a Dez Bryant. That's what he does. He catches it, and every time he catches it, you can see in his eyes, he wants to score, even if he's on his own 2-yard line.
Yep.
He's still trying to go score. So that is what you can see coming from Marquise. And he has a little bit of attitude with him, too.
Oh, it's awesome.
I love it. I love it because we've had so many good straight-laced guys in the last few years that, and I'm not saying that he's, he's
not a wild thuggish man. He's just, or anything.
Yeah. He has some edge to him, but that's great because his teammates are going to get fired up over that kind of stuff too. And I'm not saying he's like, can't even remember my own receiver now. Reggie Williams. He's not like Reggie Williams.
We've done our best.
yeah, I try to. Where he catches the ball for 2 yards and he's just so happy that he caught a pass that he's up dancing and shaking his hair around. He's not like that, but he just has a little bit of edge to him, which is good to see because that gets the crowd pumped. It gets your teammates pumped and everybody starts playing with more and more confidence.
You shake that hair and then you give that emphatic first down, Reggie, because that's what you do.
No, Marquise had the play on the sideline last night where he made one guy miss and then he took a pretty big shot mm-hmm. and stayed on his feet and then kind of got walked out of bounds. And he dropped the ball, and then he's signaling first down in people's faces. I mean, it's that kind of thing that they just haven't had that kind of attitude. And it's the same kind of attitude that Telvin Smith has on the other side of the ball as well. Is, look, they are talented guys. They realize how talented they are, and they give this team just that infusion of energy. And I wanted to point out, because I haven't heard anyone talk about this yet, the first two scoring drives, when they scored on the back-to-back drives, we've talked all season long about how much this team has struggled in basically the opponent's part of the field. They just haven't been able to finish drives. And those are two drives yesterday where they overcame first and 20 to score. One of those, a first and 20 when they were in the red zone when they got the penalty. And for a team that is trying to figure it out on the offensive side of the ball to finish drives that way after overcoming those kind of penalties, I thought was huge for this team going forward.
Yeah, those are just huge confidence boosters. I mean, especially for young guys, they can say, you know what? I've been there. I've done that. I know what to do now. I know what it takes to convert third and 20 in our own red zone, game on the line. I know what that feels like now. I have something to recall when I get in that situation again. So those plays are huge, and you love to see them come, and hopefully you can see them come more and more often, because you see other teams out there that they get into those situations and you don't think, oh, well, there's no chance we have of even getting close to the first down, where you're like, all right, third and 20, here we go. You know?
Yeah, this year it's like second and 13. You're like, okay.
Exactly.
Hope we pin them deep.
Yeah, and you get a read option, you know?
Yeah.
So those are things that you want to see more and more of. You're not going to convert all of them. They do get tougher. I think somebody called in earlier, in maybe it was the last show. He was talking about the defense not blitzing as much and those kind of things. So there are certain parts of the down and distance that you blitz more and the other parts you don't blitz. Third and extra long, that is 10 plus. That's third and 10 plus yards. You don't really blitz. Teams have maybe one or two coverages that they're going to be in. When you get in third and long, that's 6-9. Third and 6-9, that is a heavy blitz down. That is, I want to confuse you because you can't just throw it short because you still got to get some extra yards behind it, but we could probably get to the quarterback. But then when you have third and short, that is just a man coverage down. You play man because you're hoping to stay close to those guys to make it a tough throw and catch. So I think with this defense, they like their front four, so they're going to use them more often. And then when you do blitz, if you don't get to the quarterback, that leaves holes in your secondary. And if you have a decent quarterback, they can really make you look bad if you blitz and don't get to the quarterback.
David Garrard here with us, Jaguars today. Let's get Brian up on the phone next here on 1010XL.
Good morning,
Brian.
Gentlemen.
How are you? What's up?
Good. How are you?
Great.
Hey, listen, you were talking about, giving out a game ball. I have to say, Cedric Marks in his play last night, just showed, he's been a great veteran. He's been a great leader, but his play last night was just absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I thought he got a lot of pressure, early on in that game, when other guys either cleaned it up or Whitehurst had to escape the pocket.
Yeah.
Once they got him on the run, too, great coverage downfield for the most part. There may have been one or two plays that he was able to hit something on, but typically you saw him rolling out right, all that time extending, even though you're cutting down the field, nothing opened up for him on most of those plays.
You know, I really felt like last night this was one game where they got consistent pressure. You know, maybe not always getting the sack, and they got quite a few sacks, but just consistent pressure. And for Charlie Whitehurst sometimes looking like he was, you know, at a Pro Bowl level, fitting some balls in there that, you know, he hasn't fit in his whole NFL career.
He was throwing some dimes.
He was.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date, December 19th, 1971. Houston safety Ken Houston had two interceptions returned for touchdowns in the same game. The Oilers won 49-33 that day over San Diego. And at the time, Houston set the NFL career record with 9 touchdowns on interception returns. He also set the single season record with 4 interception return touchdowns. I did a little research, courtesy of our friends at ProFootballReference.com. I think it'd be a little obscure to have you guys guess all the top leaders in that, but Rod Woodson, all-time leader in interception return touchdowns with a dozen. Charles Woodson, still playing, one behind him. Mm-hmm. Alleged serial rapist Darren Sharper, also with 11. What a ridiculous. I mean, have you followed the Darren Sharper story?
I have. Not all of it, but I did see, I did read quite a bit of it.
3 different states are going after him on rape charges. The federal government's going after him on drug charges because he allegedly drugged women that he assaulted. I mean, just unbelievable. Aeneas Williams, who just went in the Hall of Fame, tied with Houston and Deion Sanders with 9 each. And Peanut Tillman, man, Charles Tillman's a freaking playmaker, this guy. He still wants to come back and play. Has had some injuries the last couple of years. He has 8 along with Rondé Barber and Eric Allen. How about this, though? Janoris Jenkins and Captain Munnerlyn, 2 mid-20s guys, each have 5 already.
Really?
Yeah, 5. Janoris Jenkins has been in the league like 3.5 years, maybe 4, I guess 4 years now. If that, 3 years maybe.
Well, the ball's being thrown so much nowadays.
I think it's the RG3 draft.
So 3 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that right?
I think. I can look real quick.
Sounds about right.
Balls being thrown so much
it
more
is.
Nowadays.
You're right.
But still, to catch it and
to get your hands
it.
On it, take it back, weave your way through, that's not too shabby.
Nope.
Regardless of if it's 3 or 4 years, we'll check that out. How about this?
2012, yeah.
2012.
This is his third year.
Third season, he's got 5. That's pretty good. How about these birthdays on the same day? We'll go with 1961, Reggie White was born on this date. Randall McDaniel, very good player for the Minnesota Vikings, born in 1964. Warren Sapp, starting to build some good lines of scrimmage here, Dave, on December 19th. Warren Sapp, born in 1972, and then Jake Plummer was born in 1974. Doesn't quite fit with the rest of those fellows, but had his moments along the way. This date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. You need fencing? Give them a call. 268-1638. Get a professional free estimate or visit them online at bestfencejacks.net. For more information, that is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Boy, are the Chicago Bears a mess right now. A couple of anonymous Chicago Bears players say that they were surprised by the benching of Jay Cutler, not because they necessarily disagreed with him being benched as the quarterback, but because of the slap on the wrist that they felt Bears offensive coordinator Aaron Cromer received last week after telling the media some locker room scuttlebutt regarding Jay Cutler that eventually became a story about the team not being happy with the contract that Jay Cutler had. Cromer was up in front of the team crying about what he had told media representative. It is just a disaster right now in that Chicago Bears locker room. I think I heard the average start for Jimmy Clausen, by the way, in the NFL is something like 118 yards start. This is in his starting career, 118 yards passing with 0.25 touchdowns.
How many games didn't he start most of those games on a bad Carolina team as a rookie?
2010 or whatever it was.
Yeah, and then they went and got Cam like the very next year. And
yeah, he was a second-round pick, and then they came back and got Cam.
And then they brought in Derek Anderson as well, so Clausen got knocked down to like third team, and you know, so he was a rookie that clearly was in over his head his first year. We've seen that plenty in the National Football League. I'm not saying he's going to be great, but I think he was in a difficult spot to perform well.
No, he was. Tennessee Titans head coach Ken Whisenhunt was a little bit salty after the Titans' loss last night. to your Jacksonville Jaguars under the bright lights of Thursday Night Football. Wisenhunt complained immediately after the game that the Jags were, quote, holding the crap out of Titans players whenever Blake scrambled out of the pocket. I'm sure that's not the word he wanted to use. I did notice during the game there were the one call on Cecil Shorts on the offensive pass interference I thought was really ticky-tack.
But I do agree with Logman on the broadcast that you understand why the ref called it, even though it's a wrong call, because he did put his hands on him, and then he separated, but he never pushed those arms out. You know?
And you can get called for looking like you're doing something.
Right, and it was a bad call, but at least it wasn't like, whoa, he never touched him.
Yeah.
The Harbor one I thought was interference, and there were a couple other plays on the outside where they could have gone either way. Some of them they called, some of them they didn't. But Chris Clemens, in the stadium last night from upstairs, you could watch him on two or three consecutive drives when the Jags defense was coming off the field. He was screaming at officials that he was getting held. And if you watch him on the replay, he's getting held a ton during that ball game last night. So I would just tell Coach Wiz that it goes both ways. But
And I saw it both ways, honestly. I saw Blake get out of the pocket a few times and seeing that right end, kind of couldn't get really his hands out to him, but then I saw the same for the Jags defense too. So they were calling it pretty much fair.
This guy's never going to complain about somebody holding on a quarterback run.
No, I didn't complain, and it's not a hold until it's called.
That's
so.
Never happened. Yeah, it never absolutely happened like that. Yeah, Wisenhunt was a little sour grape in it last night. That's just fine. Isn't that what you want? Want to hear, I'm so upset. I can't believe we lost. Is that it, Tone?
That's it.
All right, there you go. That's the hottest drive around the NFL. Coming up next, your head coach, Gus Bradley. Tony and I had a chance to sit down with Gus a couple hours ago. That conversation next on Jaguars Today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I'm Ryan Bonifant with your Rubber Meets the Road play of the game, brought to you by Big Chief Tire, operated by a family that treats you like you're part of it. The Jaguars were in the national spotlight Thursday night against AFC South rival Tennessee in Everbank. The Jags struggled early on offense, but were able to put back-to-back touchdown drives together to take a 14-10 lead heading into the fourth quarter. That's when Jordan Todman was able to spring free with a run to put the game away.
They're running up the middle. Oh, that's Jordan Todman. He broke away. Jordan Todman is in the secondary. Jordan is inside the 30-yard line. Jordan Todman inside the 20. Inside the 10. Jordan Todman is going to score a touchdown for the Jaguars. There are no flags. Touchdown, Jacksonville!
With that 62-yard run, the Jags were able to extend the lead to 21-10, and the team would only allow a field goal in the second half to secure a 21-13 win over the Titans. That was your play of the game, brought to you by Big Chief Tire. Big Chief Tire, for all of your tire and service needs. Four convenient locations around the Jacksonville area.
All right, joining us here on the Garber Automall Hot Seat, we got the head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Gus Bradley. Gus got to feel good this morning, right? Maybe a little tired, late Thursday night.
Yeah, late Thursday night, but a great feeling this morning to be able to walk into this building and, you know, have the excitement that was generated last night and come in with a victory is good.
It was nice to see some multiple offensive touchdowns. I'm sure you were looking forward to seeing that kind of come through as well. Right?
Well, I was. You know, right away, I was probably like everyone, you know, when we started off a little bit slow, but, you know, to see us come through and get those three touchdowns and, you know, off of big plays too. And, you know, it was total team effort.
For Blake, the numbers aren't going to jump off the page at you, but all the circumstances with the foot going into it, I think wanting to show up for his teammates, playing from behind, leading them down at the end of the first half, one of his better games?
Yeah, I mean, the competitiveness that he shows, the toughness, you know, I remember hearing some coaches talk about, you know, they had a quarterback they drafted in the first round, they saw him take a hit, and they, you know, saw how slow he got up, and they said, you know what, we made the wrong decision on who we picked. Well, on the other hand, for us, we know we made the right decision. This guy is ultra competitive, ultra tough. You're right, he was in a boot on Monday and Tuesday, and you know, to come up and play and show Willie what he's all about and show that toughness to this team,
critical plays too, huh? Third down runs.
Oh, big time, yeah.
You know, and decision making. So very pleased with how he came through.
One thing that stands out in that regard, we've heard all season long, there aren't too many veteran type guys on this team, older guys, but you heard Red Bryant last night really talk about what they see in a competitor in Blake, and Mercedes Lewis has talked about he's kind of the veteran on the offensive side. All season long, they've recognized that there are some special leadership qualities.
There is. You know, the quarterback position is so unique. I think you can be a leader on a team. You know, if you're a defensive end and, you know, say you're an okay player or a solid player, you can still lead. But the quarterback position is unique. The only way you can really lead is if you're good. And, you know, that's what I think they feel with Blake. They see that he has a chance to really put this thing together, and he's earned the respect of the team, and therefore he's been a leader for us.
You guys lose Allen Robinson about a month ago there in the wide receiver core, and a lot of the fans started pointing towards Marquise Lee, and they hadn't seen a whole lot from him at that point. Has any player shown more improvement in the last month than Marquise?
Boy, he really has. And we could start to see it in practice. And, you know, it's so unfortunate with Allen Robinson what took place. But I know Marquise and I had some conversation about that, you know, all right, now it's time. It's time to, you know, and I think for him, it's hard if you get 10 reps and 6 reps to go out there and gain confidence at the rapid pace that you're looking for. And then with that injury, now all of a sudden he's playing 40 reps and 45 reps, and you saw that rapid growth take place. And I think really what a credit to him is just his confidence. And Jerry Sullivan's done a good job working with him, but you're just starting to see a more confident player, and it's showing up on game day.
You know, that when you give up a lot of sacks, I'm sure you hear some of the chatter, right?
Everyone, right,
the offensive line, we need 5 new guys, right? And all their backups as well. At times, the protection's been an issue, but it's not always necessarily the line. It could be other elements. But last night, 4 sacks allowed coming off of the 8. Was it a step in the right direction? I know you haven't broken down the film yet, but just...
Yeah, you know, I haven't had a chance to look at it. I know that, you know, the one, obviously, where Blake took a big hit, we had, you know, I haven't looked at it yet, but I know that was more mental than physical. So, you know, it's those things that we have to clean up. But, you know, I think it's... we're not going to run away from the fact that we have, what, given up 60 sacks or so on the year. We need to clean that up in a hurry. And, you know, but, you try to find the truth. You know, how much is the O-line, the backs, and we all need to take responsibility for it and then just grow from it. But, you know, I think that, anytime you go from 8 to 4, it's heading in the right direction.
Step still, in the right direction.
Yeah, still
right?
Not where we want it to be, though.
What about Luke Jokel specifically? Fans ask about him all the time. How do you feel he is playing and progressing?
Well, I think that what you need to look at Luke, and, you know, if you take the end zone and just watch him, and you're seeing, you know, from the beginning of the season to where he is now, you know, Luke has really been challenged to change his technique. And part of the reason why he got to this point, being the second overall pick, was some of the traits he had in college. And now we're asking him to change some of those things. You know, the speed of the game, kind of some of the guys he's facing, and some technique changes that usually take place out of season. And we asked him at the bye week to really look hard at this and challenge him to do it, and he did it. And I think since the bye week now, if you really analyze it, you're seeing him progress, doing a really good job just with his hand placement and what he's giving. So he's making very good progress, I think, especially since the bye week.
Jaguar head coach Gus Bradley here with us, Coach. Too many sacks allowed, but on the other side, you're much improved in the sack department from your defense. And if I'm not mistaken, all 4 of the sacks last night came out of just a 4-man rush, which I know that's really kind of one of the things that predicates success for you on that side of the football, the ability to get after quarterbacks without sending extra people.
Well, that's a key. I think any defensive coach, defensive-minded coach, would appreciate that. If you can get pressure with 4, I mean, it can make your life easier. You don't have to take a person out of coverage. So we're seeing that, and that's good. And I think some of that is we've got some veteran guys that have done it before and know how to do it and are consistent in doing it. And when you have that in place, that sack number can go up. On the other side, that's when you're looking at the offensive line. We're young, not a lot of experience, and when you have that, the sack numbers can go up. So I think, you know, the more experience we get on that side of the ball, on the offensive side, you should see those numbers drop, you know, to a number that is acceptable.
Talking about pressure with that front 4, were you aware that Cinderic just needed the half sack for that bonus going into the game.
I think everybody
everybody
knew.
Everybody in Jacksonville knew. Right?
If I didn't know, they'd be all over me. But, because I think last week he got credit for one and then what it was taken away. You know, so I think that was the big point that he was what?
He's a half sack away.
So we didn't talk about it in team meetings, but I think that was kind of the elephant in the room. It was, always there and people knew about it. But what a cool night though. I mean, the last play of the game, but I think what was really awesome was that the team ran out to him. And, for anything else, it's really a tribute to Cinderic. He is such a genuine person, a great leader on our team. And it's almost like the team was happier for him than he was happy for himself. And, so well deserved.
Yeah, you didn't happen to go out last night, right? Apparently he was asking the whole locker room wherever they wanted to go. It was on Cinderic last night.
He might have showed up late. they're probably there waiting for him.
You know what? That's a good point. Now, look, you've got him locked up. You got Roy Miller locked up this week. He's got the little knee issue that doesn't seem to be anything major at this point in time. But as a defensive coach, you have two guys in the prime of their career, mid to late 20s, just emerging as really a good tandem, and you've got them locked up for the next 3 years minimum.
It's unbelievable. I give credit to Dave Caldwell for doing this during the season and getting these guys wrapped up. I think it's really important. Different styles of leadership, Roy and Cinderic. Roy, quiet. Hardworking, really just goes out there and through his efforts, where Cinderic's hardworking as well, but a little bit more, talkative, tries to elevate everybody around him as well. So two great people to have in our organization for many years.
And a couple of the young guys on the defensive side of the ball I wanted to ask you about specifically. Aaron Colvin, who has just been popping since he got onto the field about a month ago, and Telvin Smith last night with 15 more tackles. He is just all over the field for you guys.
Well, it's, starting with Telvin, that speed, one of the reasons why we took him was because of his instincts and his speed on the tape. And, he's a little bit undersized, but we felt like, and give him an off season, he can get up to that 225. And, hopefully we get a steal. And, he's playing that way. He's been very consistent. There's been a learning curve for him, but, what I like with Telvin is if he makes an error, he comes back with two really big plays. Now, Aaron Colvin on the other side, very explosive. I mean, a big time hit on, Whitehurst when he was scrambling. That really energized the defense. And, he plays with such a passion, such a spirit for the game. There was one where he got a seam, I think at the end of the game, where he got, beat on. But, for the most part, so competitive. And, he's learning every day. I mean, you gotta look at Aaron Colvin. He's only played, 3 weeks now, or what, 3 or 4 weeks into it where he started, and doing a really good job for us. I think you can see his explosiveness as well.
Yeah, we had Dwayne Walker, JP Shattuck talked to him for the pregame show last night, and he was talking about Jonathan Cyprian specifically and saying that you guys really ask a lot out of the strong safety in your defense, and that he was pretty comfortable with the progress he's made. And fans look and say, we don't see the big plays. We don't see the interceptions and the sacks and the things like that. But your impression of the season that Sips had here?
Well, it's so consistent. There was times when, anytime a guy misses tackles in an open field, it really stands out, especially at the safety spot. So, if he comes out and misses a couple tackles, it jumps out. But for us as coaches, we analyze, the factor. How much impact did he have on this game? And, he's been consistently around, every four plays, which is a high impact for his safety. And, it's doing things that we're asking him to do, turn a play in, hit his gap, take care of his responsibility. Sometimes the flash plays, the interception, the cause fumble, those will come. Just like, we say turnovers come in bunches, those plays will come for Sip. But you can just see he's playing with a lot more poise than he did last year. And I think we see it as, all right, that's a step in the right direction. When you do that, those plays will typically come.
Going back to the offensive side of the ball for a moment, Toby Gerhart gotten a bigger opportunity the last couple weeks. 2 weeks ago, he's a guy that in the locker room was talking about morale being low. And I know you talked about him, and maybe that was a frustration for him.
Sure.
That he wasn't getting more opportunities. He's gotten the ball a little bit more in the last couple weeks. He's been effective. What have you seen from him on the field?
Well, I think we're, you know, we talk about learn the learner, or, you know, we try to identify who the player is, and then we tell the player who we think he is. You know, it's one of those deals. And, you know, Toby's doing a good job. We can see more of an inside runner. You know, when he hits it downhill, yards after contact, tough. You know, I think you can feel the energy when he does get a run. The players, you know, get excited for him. So I think, you know, we're still learning about him, and he's starting to get fully healthy. And but just tough, hard nose. You know, he can. If you ask him outside zone, sure, I can do it all. But and he can. But I think his strengths are really more inside as an inside runner.
Gus Bradley here with us for another minute or so. Gus, I don't know if you realize this, but there are at least 60 to 70,000 coaches in Jacksonville that know what you should be doing on both sides of the ball. Because they call they call us pretty much every day. I want to know, when you're out and about around town, okay, other than the, hey, wow, it's Coach Gus Bradley, do you get people coming up to you and saying, why aren't you doing this? You need to do more of this. How much coaching advice are you getting out there?
Not too much, no. But I'm sure they're thinking. I'm glad I can't read people's minds, but no. You know what? You know, I think it becomes like a cliche almost, but really our fans, I mean, what an environment last night. I mean, our players, I loved it because there was a heightened environment, and it was really good teaching for our players. I think initially right away, some of our players, I saw Telvin Smith break and miss a tackle, dropped his head. And sometimes things like that happen in a heightened environment. You want to do something so well in front of your peers that you just get out of whack a little bit. And it's a great teachable moment for him. He came over the sideline. We hit it right away. And then he went on and what? Got 12 tackles.
15 yeah.
tackles. You know, there's so many teachable moments, and our fans were there throughout. And, you know, the energy that our fans bring, I don't want to say I'm open to hearing their suggestions, because I'll get a whole bunch of them when I'm walking around. But our fans are great, man. We really do appreciate them. And a night like that, and, you know, the last game at home this season, it was awesome.
They can keep calling us. We'll pass them along to you if we think they might help. By the way, a unique setup, right, because of the way it timed out with the final Thursday game. The way your schedule is going to fall, you're going to be able to give the guys Christmas Day off, which is pretty unheard of when it falls on a Thursday in the National Football League.
Yeah, it is. It's tough. I think every team tries to do it. You know, they try to find ways, and, you know, they'll even give a little bit as far as practice time to ensure they get time home with their family. But for us, because of this Thursday game, we really, you know, Monday, you know, or Tuesday will be a Wednesday, or Wednesday will be a Thursday, and allows us to give them Thursday off and then start right back up where Friday, Saturday, right into our game. So it really works out well as far as these guys being able to have that time with their family on Christmas Day.
Well, we certainly wish you and yours a Merry Christmas, and we appreciate the time you've given us this year. And let's make it a Happy New Year by getting number 4 next
yeah,
week
that's
against
right.
Houston.
We always say quickly recover, whether a win or a loss. And, you know, the guys will enjoy this maybe for 32 hours or something. But, you know, then we'll get back on it. We're really looking forward to this next opportunity that we have.
All right, if you see Gus Bradley on the streets, keep it to yourself. This call is here on Jaguars Today. Coach, good to see you. Congrats on the win last night. Let's do it again soon.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, there goes Gus Bradley, your head coach, and obviously in a good mood. But he's always in a good mood, Tony.
Gus is amazing. And he came in set with us earlier this morning, and while he's leaving, Joe Fortunato and his wife Linda were over in their office, and he had never met Linda before. She's around for the game day broadcast, and he walks by, realizes there was someone in that room that he's never met. So he comes all the way back, and he's like, hey, I'm Coach Bradley. I've never met you, see you in the building, and introduces himself to Linda, and then has a conversation for a couple minutes about what they're doing for Christmas. I mean, it's...
Joe, how come you haven't ever introduced me to your wife?
It's just the kind of guy that Gus Bradley is, and it's so genuine that you don't see that kind of person very often. It's so cool to be around that kind of guy.
It's so funny, because Gus is just... he really is enthusiastic about everything, because Joe comes out, and he's like, all right, Gus, well, this is my wife, Linda. He's like, this is fantastic. It's like, yes, a man meets a woman, they get married. That's how it works, Gus. This is amazing. I mean, that's how he is in this. He's a fun guy to be around. It's fun when he comes in after a victory, Tony. Hopefully we'll get to visit with him a lot more next year on that score. But we appreciate Gus stopping by. If you missed the interview or want to hear it again, you can catch that at 1010XL.com on demand. I'm sure that will be up for you shortly after Jaguars Today goes off the air today, and you can catch the entirety of the replay. They're always posted. You can get them on 1010XL.com. You can get them at Jaguars.com. They've got them in podcast form for you as well. Right now, we've got something for you. I have a $25 gift certificate to Levy Jewelers, located on the Circle and under the clock at the St. John's Town Center, Jacksonville's exclusive provider of Breitling watches, and where you will find the best selection of jewelry and timepieces this holiday season. Want to do nice for your loved one? Something nice for your loved one? Call right now, 641-1010. We'll take the fourth caller at 641-1010, and Lauren will hook you up with that $25 gift certificate to Levy Jewelers. By the way, Brandon Williams earlier won a pair of Skinner tickets. How about that? That's not something
sweet
that anybody's going to thumb their nose at in the city of Jacksonville, USA, baby. So congrats to Brandon Williams and somebody I'm sure winning as we speak with the Levy Jeweler gift certificate. We'll come back, take a look at the fan feedback spotlight, just simply asking who you're giving your game ball to. We'll go around the table and discuss the candidates on that as well, get some final thoughts for the calendar year with David Garrard. That's it for 2014, man. So we'll wrap it up next. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks here with you on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. It's Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. I have no idea what the theme is, but I have, like, the music theme.
Thank
but
you.
The eyes have it. I don't know what it means, Dave.
I have no guesses.
Eyes.
Somebody got close to it earlier. I think, was it you, Tony, that said something about watching the team?
I don't know.
The eye test. That was close. That was close. My theme today, and thanks to Parmalee for kind of putting it in my mind, was I'm watching this team grow up right before my eyes.
Okay.
Oh.
That's a lot of eye.
All right.
So there you go.
See after school special about this later. Maybe a Lifetime movie. Wipe your eyes
with the tears from how sweet and sentimental my theme
grow
is.
Grow up right before my eyes. They're so young.
Well, I couldn't do believe. That would have been too easy. I couldn't do winning. That would have been too easy. I couldn't have done the end. That would have been too easy. So I went with something a little more difficult.
Goodness. Well, that certainly was well played.
Just remember how much you liked the music, okay?
I love the music today. People think I pick on you too much.
Never.
The music themes. No. Well,
if you don't pick on me, that means you don't like me.
Is that how it works? What are we in second grade?
Yes.
I'm gonna pull your pigtails.
You need to drive over there and push her down.
Then you really know I like you. You want to see how much? All right. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you the show every Friday since 1905. Claude Nolan Cadillac serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida. They have the largest selection of new and pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville. Absolutely no dealer fees. And by the way, the only Cadillac dealer in North Florida to sell and service the ELR is Claude Nolan Cadillac. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac one step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com. Visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard and give them a call at 642-5111. That's Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor here of Jaguars Today. Today, the fan feedback spotlight asking you game balls. Who are you giving them to? Tony, who are they giving them to?
Here's what we got from at Irish Jaguar Blake. Those back-to-back touchdown drives were huge. From Eric, for me, it was Toby. His hard running in the second quarter sparked the offense and was glad to see him get a touchdown. Just his second of the year. From Big Mike, the rushing game, we really controlled the clock and wore them down. From Brandon, Telvin Smith, he was everywhere last night and felt like he was in on every tackle. And from Brock, do I get a game ball for planning ahead and taking the day off? Hashtag
yes, you do, actually.
Hangover.
That may be T-shirt worthy, I think, right there. That's a good one. Was that Brock you said
that
who sent
Brock,
that one out?
Yeah.
All right, let me send Brock a little tweet, let him know that he's got a T-shirt waiting for him. Let's go around the table, Dave. I know you singled out Marquise Lee just for his growth, but for the overall, who's the one guy? Does it go to Sindarek? Does it go to somebody else? Who gets it for you?
I like Telvin Smith. I think, you know, when I see him sometimes, I'm like, man, this is a slim guy. But he just has the ability to make the plays. You know, his heart is bigger than his build, and he has the athletic ability, and he's showing it. He's showing it that he can be one of those difference makers on defense. You know, and as he continues to grow, just like Blake, as he continues to grow and get more confidence, he will start to make more and more plays. And I'm sure he's going to be one of those guys that can rush around the end too when he does go in on blitzes and make a difference that way. So I think his game, that the fact that his body has been able to hold up, you know, because he's not a big guy at all, I think his impact was huge.
He may be a future star. I mean, not just a
That's what good, I feel, yeah. That's star, what I feel. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And I think, you know, you got your weak side linebacker. I picked him last night in the post game as my player of the game too, so you're not going to get an argument from me. Tony, what about you?
I'm leaning towards Toby Gerhart for my game ball, and the reason being, we talked about this with Coach Bradley as well, but 2 weeks ago, this is a guy that's in the locker room saying that, you know, morale is down. And I don't know if it was a locker room-wide thing or if it was just for Toby Gerhart because of the expectations he had finally being out of the shadow of Adrian Peterson coming here to Jacksonville and really hasn't latched onto this opportunity, whether it's because of that injury or whatever. But I thought last week against Baltimore, he ran the ball effectively when he was given the opportunity. And for whatever reason, they decided to mix in Storm Johnson and Jordan Todman and these other guys while Toby was clearly the most effective back. And I think last night in the second quarter, they did the same thing through the first quarter. Toby had a pretty effective first drive, and then all of a sudden Storm Johnson's in the game, and I'm watching going, what's he got to do? And then in the second quarter of the game, when they had their first scoring drive, he ran over like six people on back-to-back plays to go get first downs for this team, and I was like, that got the offense going. That gave him the spark that they needed to create those two scoring drives. He was on the field as the primary back for both of those drives, by the way. For me, it's Toby Gerhart, just the spark he gave them in the running game that they so desperately needed to get on the tracks last night.
I won't fight you there because I did have to spot start Toby in a couple of leagues this week, and I appreciate the nice touchdown and the double-digit points he got me last night, Dave. But coming down the track, are you still live in any of your leagues? How many leagues did you play?
No,
this
I am
year?
Out in both my leagues.
Two
I only
leagues.
Played two. Yeah,
we'll get you. We'll yeah. get that bumped up.
I do want to say though, I'm glad you said Toby because I've been tough on Toby all year, and I really felt like this was the first time. I really felt like he ran like a big back. You know, he ran through some arm tackles. That's what big backs should be able to do. And he looked like what everybody was expecting him to be a little bit last night. So yeah.
I dare you to take me off the field. I'm running over three guys. I dare you to take
exactly.
me off the field
so,
right now.
But that's what you should do at 240-some pounds.
Yeah.
All right, before we get out of here, let's hear it one more time. Let's go in the locker room post-game because this is the best audio we've heard today, courtesy of the folks at Jaguars.com. Then we'll tie a bow on this one after the game. Gus Bradley called upon Telvin Smith to lead the chant, which is now the I believe, we believe in victory, becoming the staple of the Jaguars post-game victorious locker room. So let's listen in.
Telvin, lead us, man!
We believe!
We believe!
We believe in victory!
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 How about Avery Jones?
Hey!
Sacked by Schmitty.
Hey!
Touchdown pass from Blake Bortles to Mercedes Lewis.
Hey!
34-yard reception by Marquise Lee.
Hey!
Touchdown run by Toby Gerhart.
Hey!
Sack and selfie by Ryan Davis.
Hey!
62-yard touchdown run by Jordan Todd.
Hey!
12 tackles by Telvin Smith.
Hey!
No turnovers.
Hey!
Said Derek Mark just became a little richer.
Hey!
But you know what? Let's take tomorrow off.
Hey!
Everybody, man, get those hands up.
Man,
keep it tight. Protect the team, man. Protect the team and keep it tight. Keep it tight on three. One, two, three.
Keep it tight.
There you go. Keep it tight for the holidays, Dave. And they get today off. They'll have basically the next couple of days off. They'll come back Monday, watch some film. They're going to practice Tuesday like it's Wednesday. They're going to practice Wednesday like it's Thursday. And then they're going to take Christmas off, which is pretty cool. And hopefully they can sit back and watch the Houston Texans get beat up by a physical Baltimore Raven defense. They have a lot less time to prepare for them than the Jags do to recuperate. And you end the season on a two-game winning streak.
You know, I know they're happy right now because they get to go into Christmas with a win. So they are, you know, the next few practices for them are going to be so great because they get to have Christmas Day off, spend some time with their family, and really just reflect on their last week. And you don't understand how much that helps a player out.
Is there any locker room right now of any team with anything close to a comparable record that will be that joyful and enthusiastic if they win their fifth game, their fourth game, whatever the case may be? I can't imagine around the NFL. And it is a testament to not only the coaches for keeping them together, but for the players themselves for buying into it. And, you know, hopefully it will pay off. And you hear a guy like Roy Miller this week talk about his desire to see it pay off here in Jacksonville, that he really believes that something special is building. You hear the veteran players on both sides of the football talk about how they believe in this quarterback and how he's got what it takes. And hopefully, you know what, a lot of good things to feel good about. Got to pay off with more wins next year, but feel good. You got one last night. That's all you could have done last night was win a football game. So they did that, and congrats to the Jags for getting it done. Dave, Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Merry Christmas to you guys. I do want to say that Retro Fitness is...
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
we're gonna
have a soft opening the day after Christmas. So I would still tell people, come out if you want to come sign up.
Location?
It's in Harbor Village, right next to Queens Harbor in the Fresh Market shopping center there.
So
it's
check
Atlantic,
it out.
Atlantic Boulevard and San Pablo.
And soft open, you're still getting the final finishing touches done, and you'll be ready to launch that
and
early.
And you can still sign up now. You can come to the our pre-sale center in the same shopping center and sign up now.
All right, there he goes. David Garrard, happy holidays to you and your family, man. We'll see you in the new year.
Thank you, guys.
There he goes, the great David Garrard here with us. Fat Tony for Tony, for Lauren Brooks. For Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. We're back on Monday, short week next week, getting ready for the Christmas holiday. Jag fans, enjoy a happy weekend. Watch a bunch of other teams lose in the National Football League this weekend. Your team's not going to be among them. Congrats to the Jags for getting their third win of the season. That does it for us today. Thanks to Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor. XL Primetime coming up. They'll have Gus Bradley's press conference at the top of the hour live on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.